Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be speaking about he who has an ear, let him hear. But before we do, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for all of your promises that you've given us. I thank you for your word that you've made so plain and so accessible to us in this time that we can study to show ourselves approved before you as workmen that need not be ashamed as we rightly divide your word of truth. I thank you for you giving us the desire to use the power of the Holy Spirit that you place within us so that we can perform signs, miracles, and wonders on earth and draw all men to you by our faith, confidence, and trust in you. I thank you for you allowing us to make your word real in our life so that we can make your word real in the lives of others who do not know you yet. I thank you for the privilege of being able to share the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, with others so that they can come into relationship with you and be your dear child and not be lost any longer. I thank you for someone being delivered, being healed, being encouraged, being set free, being empowered by what they hear tonight. And I thank you for your will being done. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Every
help me say that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the apathy. Every oath will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say they take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough in him. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Dive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing He Who Has an Ear, Let Him Hear. And from the time of Moses, God has been raising faithful men up to speak to God's people the truth of his word so that God's people will not be in darkness, so that God's people will understand what God's plan is for them and that God's plan is good for them. But when we do not listen to the words of God, then we fall victim to the lies of the devil. So tonight, I want everyone who has an ear, let him hear what the word of God is saying to you tonight, because God is speaking to all of us right now. I want to start tonight's teaching in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 18 of the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to be reading from verses 15 to 22 from the New King James Version of the Bible. And this is speaking of Moses. Moses is speaking to God's people, and he's telling them that a new prophet like him is going to be raised up by God in the latter times, and they are going to hear what this prophet says. We know that Moses was speaking of Jesus Christ here. So listen to what it says. This is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 22. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. See, they were afraid of God, and they were troubled by hearing the voice of God speaking to them from the mountain. So look at what it says in verse 17. It says, and the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my word, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you shall say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So what is God saying here? God was speaking to Moses and the people, the children of Israel, at this time, and he was telling them that he was going to send Jesus Christ as a prophet to speak to them, and he would put his words in his mouth, and that Jesus would say all that God commanded him. He would not deviate. And when he was saying to them, they said to God, how should we know the difference? How can we tell the difference between a prophet that's speaking for you and a prophet that's just speaking? And God made it plain. He said, look, if the words of that prophet do not come to pass and do not happen, that prophet is not someone who's speaking on my behalf, because the words of God did not fall to the ground. Everything that God speaks has power, has authority. It will happen. So what we have to learn how to do is to come into agreement with what God has spoken and then say what God says. Because when we say what God says, that is going to happen for us. But for those who speak anything other than what God has spoken, they are speaking presumptuously. And God simply says of these people, you shouldn't be afraid of them. They have no authority. They have no weight. They're just making noise. And unfortunately, we have a tendency to listen to the people who put on the best show, who are the most entertaining, who are the most boisterous, who are the most forceful. But God is saying, if they're saying what I'm saying, then what they say is going to come to pass. And it doesn't matter how loud they're saying it. as long as they're saying what I tell them to say. And we know that Jesus Christ obeyed God in all things. And Jesus Christ said only what God told him to say. And that is a powerful thing. So now, I want to fast forward to our day and time. I want to look at the book of Acts. And we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 2. Because when we think of words being spoken, and we think of the power of words and the power behind what we say, we have to think about the fact that the Holy Spirit gave us real power, access to absolute power that God has placed within us as a result of the obedience of his son Jesus Christ, who died for our restoration. He died to pay for all of our sin with his perfect blood. And look at what it says here in Acts chapter 2 regarding the coming of the Holy Spirit. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is very powerful. And the day of Pentecost is 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Remember how in Acts 1, Jesus Christ told his disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come? Well, this is the result of what happened. They went to Jerusalem, they waited, and the Holy Spirit is arriving. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. One of the words for spirit in the word is wind. It's the word pneuma. And when we say pneuma hagion, that is spirit holy. It's really Holy Spirit, but that's how it's translated, is spirit holy, pneuma hagion. And that is a word for wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Now, this is interesting because it was fire that came from one source and then split so that an individual piece of fire was over all of their heads and then went to one flame. And it said, it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. See, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled to overflowing. And the first thing they did was speak with other tongues. So they're speaking in tongues and giving glory to God, speaking mysteries to God. And they are not speaking in their native tongue. And this is the beginning of something new. It reminds me of what God did at the Tower of Babel. In order to prevent man from doing his work, he confounded the languages of man. And here, he is, in a certain respect, he is confounding the languages of man in that he is uniting all of these men and having them speak in, well, men and women, having them speak in tongues that are not native to them, that are not their natural tongue. They are speaking in other tongues. And at the end it says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it's the Spirit that gives you the language that you are speaking, because you don't understand what the language is. That's what makes it speaking in tongues. You're speaking in an unknown language to you, and it is the Spirit that is giving you utterance. It is giving you the words to speak, and then you, out of your obedience, are speaking those words. So look at what it says here about the crowd's response to observing the disciples of Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 5, going to be reading down to verse 13, it says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under the heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.' So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?' Others mocking said, 'They are full of new wine.'" So there were those who minimized this whole event and said these people were drunk. Then there were others who said, "This is a significant sign. What could this mean?" And see, all of these devout Jews were in Jerusalem for the Passover. They were there for a religious gathering. And so you had all of these witnesses, Jews from all over the world, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes. And a proselyte is a person who converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. They all heard them speaking in their own tongue. So those who were in the upper room, those who were speaking in tongues, who had received the Holy Spirit, they were speaking in the tongues of these people in these other nations. They didn't understand what they were saying, but the people who heard them understood. And they knew that these people couldn't possibly know their native tongue because they were from Galilee. See, there were Jews there from all of these nations. They were there for the Passover. And so they were all Jewish, but they spoke different languages. And here at this event on the day of Pentecost, they're hearing these Galilean Jews speak in their own language. And they were confounded. They said, "What can this mean?" So remember Peter, when Jesus Christ was being crucified, when he was about to be taken and apprehended, and you see him, how he denied Christ three times before the cock crowed, and it was a different Peter than we're seeing here, because now Peter has the power of the Holy Spirit within him. Peter has the fullness of the Holy Spirit within him, just as you and I do now when we're saved. And he is exercising that power right now. I'm going to be reading from verses 14 down to verse 39. So I want you to hear the fullness of Peter's sermon, because this is the first sermon that we read after the day of Pentecost. The first sermon that was given was Peter, and he is fully empowered. He is absolutely using the power that he's been given. Listen to what Peter says in verse 14. He says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, Let it be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want to stop right there for a minute, because this particular piece that he just spoke is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And he said that it shall come to pass in the last days that God will pour out of his spirit on all flesh. That's what he did there at Pentecost. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He didn't say they might prophesy. He said they shall prophesy. He said, your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. He said, on your men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. See, so God is not respecting male or female here. He's saying, I'm going to pour my spirit out on men and women. And they shall prophesy. See, he didn't say they might prophesy. He said they shall prophesy, because the Spirit gives us the power to speak in tongues and prophesy. The first thing they did when they received the Holy Spirit was speak in tongues. And then it says they prophesied. It says, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, once again, it didn't say that they prophesied when they spoke in tongues here. It actually speaks about them speaking in tongues and prophesying in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 7, if you go check that out. But this says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you need to understand this. Just like they shall prophesy, they shall be saved who calls on the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you call on his name, that desire to call on his name comes from God. And God says, the work that I have started in you, I will finish. See, God is not a slacker like many of us. God doesn't start something and not finish it. What God starts, he finishes. The desire to come to God comes from God. So if you're even listening to this, you're being drawn by God. You're not listening to this on accident. You're listening to this because God has his eye on you, and he wants you to seek his face so that he can show you the goodness of all that he has planned for you. Look at what it says in verse 22. It says, men of Israel, hear these words. Remember, the title of this sermon tonight is, he who has an ear, let him hear. Peter is getting bold here in verse 22. He says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, now this is speaking of King David prophesying of Jesus Christ. It says, this is David speaking. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Look at what it says in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak to you freely of the patriarch David. This is Peter speaking now. Men and brethren, let me speak to you freely of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. I'm going to stop here again and say, he who has an ear, let him hear. Because this is making things pretty plain here. And Peter's telling them, hey, I'm speaking to you of what David spoke of when he spoke. And he is with them in his tomb, dead and buried. And yet he was speaking of the Messiah. He was speaking of Jesus Christ. And he said, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Remember, God told David that you will always have someone to sit on your throne for eternity. He was speaking of Jesus Christ. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. See, Jesus Christ was in the stone tomb for 3 days and three nights. And before his flesh saw corruption, he was raised from the dead. Verse 32 says, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus Christ, poured out this which you now see and hear. So, Jesus Christ received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit and poured out the Spirit upon all mankind. Look at what it says here in 34. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says of himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. See, this is the Apostle Peter speaking boldly. He's not hiding anymore. He's been energized by the power of the Holy Spirit, just as we should be energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's made him master and the Messiah. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, we have heard these last two verses all by themselves for a long time. But But when you reflect on everything that we just read in the context here, and we see and understand that this is God rolling out his whole plan and showing us what he is doing in the earth, and that it is a new thing, and that it is marking a very special time for you and I. So look at what happens as a result of all this. A vital church begins to grow. I'm going to be reading from verses 40 to 47. It says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized." They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. "And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." That is what we're looking for today, is for God to add daily to the church those who are being saved. See, there are many of us who are looking for the power of God to be manifested. And we have to do what they did. We have to get past what we know and have come to know as church. And we have to be the church, because we are the church. The word church in the scriptures, the Greek word, it is the Greek word for those who are called out. And those who, of us who are called out for the purpose of reconciling the world back to God, we are the ecclesia. We are those who are called out for the specific purpose of reconciling the lost back to God. And when we get to the point where now we are looking to save those from this perverse generation, those are going, we're going to meet people who are gladly going to receive the word, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ. And they're going to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And just like they were adding thousands of souls at a time, they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They were breaking bread with one another. They were in prayers with one another regularly. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Remember, it said that signs, miracles, and wonders will come through those who believe. We call ourselves believers because we believe. And they all believed together. They had all things in common. Now, this sounds unlike anything that we know, especially in the United States, because it's all about me, myself, and I. And this says that the believers had all things in common. So there was no need among the believers, because they sold their possessions and goods, and then they divided them among all so that no one had need. They divided them so that everybody equally had what they needed. So one who had more than he needed sold his possessions so that those who had nothing had something. And then they continued daily with one accord in the temple. So they were in the place of worship together, and they broke bread from house to house. So they went from house to house of their brethren eating, and they ate their food with gladness and with simplicity of heart. They were praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved. Now, you know, when you see what God was doing with this early church, that is the standard. That is the benchmark. That is what we want to get back to. Now, I'm going to read in a little bit something that we need to pay close attention to, because there are three other churches we're going to read about tonight, other than the Acts 2 church, other than the first church, where they were saving 3,000 people at a time. We're going to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1, where it's going to talk about the dead church. And when you hear what is being read here, I want you to pay close attention, because it is something that we all need to have in mind. We have to be aware. We have to be watchful. And we have to understand that time is at hand. Look at what it says in Revelation chapter 3 regarding the dead church. I'm going to be reading from verses 1 to 6. It says, and to the angel of the Lord, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. He's telling them to repent, to turn away from the direction they're going and come back to God. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And this is important. It's important for you to understand that this is a warning. And he's telling this church in Sardis that he knows their works and that they have a name, they have a reputation that says they're alive, but they are dead. And he's warning them to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. He says, remember therefore how you received and heard. See, he's calling them back to remembrance of what they have seen and heard. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, right? Remember what you received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Hold fast to the word that you've received and the word that you've heard. Hold fast to that word and then repent. Turn away from the way that you were going. Turn away from serving money and pleasing people and leaning to your own understanding and operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. And repent. Turn toward serving God, pleasing God, trusting God, and obeying God by operating out of unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. He said, but if you won't watch, I'm going to come as a thief in the night, and you will not know the hour that I'm going to come. Then he tells him, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. So he says, even in this dead church, there are a few people who are righteous, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is what Jesus Christ is saying. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Don't you want God to confess your name before his Father and before the angels? Of course you do. So repent, That means turn away from serving sin. Stop heading south with your face in the sun, blinding your eyes. Turn around and start heading north toward the throne of God. Look at what it says here in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13 regarding the faithful church. And you would think this was going to be something too, right? Listen to what he says. He says, "And to the angel in the church of Philadelphia, right? These things says the Lord who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you because you have kept my command to persevere. I will always keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So look at what Jesus is saying here, right? He's the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. He says, "I know your works, Church of Philadelphia. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength." So he's telling them, hey, you have a little strength. You're walking this thing out. You've kept my word and you've not denied my name. See, these people in Philadelphia, we know the word Philadelphia is that place of love. They kept the word of Jesus Christ. They have not denied the name of Jesus Christ. He says, "Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere." See, you know what it means to persevere? It's to endure under affliction. And this was a command from Jesus Christ, to patiently endure. We read of this in Romans chapter 5, how we glory in tribulation, because tribulation teaches us patience, experience, and hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. He says, "I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." This is a part of the promise. He's telling these people, because you have a little strength, because you've kept my command and persevered, I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You know what? That should be motivation all by itself. We talk about people being saved. That's something to be saved from. That hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole earth, where all men are going to quake in their boots. And, you know, it's a fascinating thing, because there were those at the beginning, before the flood, that God did not allow to see the devastation. They were spared that experience of experiencing the flood. And they were righteous, but God took them before that hour of affliction. And this hour of affliction, he's saying to these people, I'm gonna keep you from all that. You're not going to have to experience that, what's going to come upon the whole earth. He says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, to he who overcomes, I will make him. I, Jesus Christ, will make him, the one who overcomes, a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. You're going to get the name of Jesus Christ's new name. You're going to get the name of New Jerusalem. You're going to get the name of the city of my God. And you're going to get the name of his God. That's incredible. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And see, the Spirit is speaking to the churches. Now, this last one is a famous one that everyone has heard of, the lukewarm church. We're going to be reading from verses 14 to 22. It says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are rich, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. See, he's telling them, repent. Be eager and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, this is very important because many of us have gotten too comfortable with church as usual. And this says, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation, the creation of God. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm out and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now look at this. It reminds me of Mary and Martha when they were in the room with Jesus Christ and Martha was making the meal and she was hard at work preparing the meal. And she was critical of Mary who was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she was at rest. She was at peace. She was just taking in the presence of Jesus. And yet, Martha was critical of Mary because she felt like she should be doing what she was doing. She felt like she should be working to prepare the meal. And Jesus Christ said that Mary was doing the better thing. Someone still had to prepare the meal. What is present here in this example is you have someone who is hot, who is at work in the room preparing the meal, and you have someone who is at rest. But Jesus Christ is telling these people in the church of Laodicea that you're not at work, nor are you at rest. You're just sitting around. You're in the room, but you're not doing anything productive. You're not at rest at the feet of Christ, and you're not at work preparing the meal. You're just taking up space. And he says, because you're neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And what we see in the scripture over and over and over is that God gives his people things to do during 6 days of the week. And then on the seventh day of the week, he tells them to rest and they are to feast. When you are at rest and you are feasting, that is a time to be cold. When you are at work, that is a time to be hot. But you are not to be just wandering around taking up space. And he said, and see, you know, when we are wandering around taking up space, when we think we got it made, when we think that we don't have any needs. Listen to what he says to this church in verse 17. He says, because you said, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, he's looking at them spiritually. They're looking at themselves from a five senses point of view, saying, I am rich, I become wealthy, I have need of nothing, I made it. And it made them comfortable, and it made them spiritually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And so here Jesus counsels them. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Remember, he was speaking to the others who were going to receive this reward and their crown because they persevered, right? He says, receive from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. So it's not about being comfortable. It's about enduring affliction and persevering so that you can be rich. See how gold is refined in the fire. It's the fire that brings out the dross and brings out the imperfections and makes the gold 24 karat gold. He says, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. He's telling them they're blind. See, when you look at life through your five senses filter, you are blind. You do not understand what is going on here because you're trying to measure things by what you drive and what you wear and where you went to school and where you work and where you live and what you do and what people say about you. And you know what? None of these things matter. What matters is, are you pleasing God? Are you serving God? Are you trusting God? Are you obeying God? And when you're in that place, then you're going to be refined in the fire. You're going to be rich. You're going to be clothed in white garments. And the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And you're going to see. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. It's Jesus Christ speaking, and he's just doing what his heavenly father, what his father did. God tells us in Psalms that he whom he loves, he chastens. And those whom he does not chasten, they wonder if there is a God at all. But Jesus Christ is saying to these people, who are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked spiritually. He's telling them, I rebuke and I chasten you and I love you. Because I love you, I'm going to rebuke you and I'm going to chasten you. Therefore, be eager, be zealous, and repent. Turn away from heading south and turn north toward the throne of God. Turn away from looking into the sun and blinding your eyes and turn north so that your back can be warmed and your eyes can see the face of God. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. See, he who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. He's going to commune with you. Jesus Christ, if you hear his voice and you open the door. See, you have to open the door. It's not enough for you to hear his voice calling you. Jesus is calling to you, but remember what we read earlier? Whosoever calls on the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. That desire comes from him. But see, what's the only thing that's going to keep you from opening the door, from opening your mouth and calling on the name of Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, the only thing that's going to prevent that from happening is your doubt, worry, and fear that you're not worthy, that you are, have done something that disqualifies you. And God is telling you the power of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, is powerful enough to handle that business. And that's what believing is. Believing is getting past yourself and realize you're not bigger than God. You're not more powerful than God. You can't reverse God's plan. If God called you before the foundations of the world to be his child, you will be his child. Now, you might get whooped severely until you submit. I recommend that you submit without getting whooped up, chasing the rebuke and all that. But God says of all of us that he who he loves, those whom he loves, he scourges all of his sons. I've been chastened and scourged by the Lord severely, and it changed my life 25 years ago. I can tell you all about that sometime. I might write a book about it. I don't know. But what I'm saying to you is that Jesus Christ wants to come in and commune with you. He wants to dine with you. And he wants you to commune with him. So listen for his voice and open the door. He says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. See, Jesus Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years after he returns. And those of us who meet him in the air, we are going to reign with him for those 1,000 years. And he says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Do you see how Jesus Christ overcame at Calvary? He was beat. He was spit upon. He was pierced in the side, nailed to a cross. Well, nailed to a cross, then pierced in the side, laid in a stone tomb, dead for 3 days and 3 nights, and God raised him from the dead and sat him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And then he sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, to dwell within you and I. And he said, just as I sat down with my Father on his throne after I overcame, so will you sit with me on my throne after you overcome. See, we have to finish our work. We have to finish our work. And when we finish our work, that's when we're going to overcome. And when Jesus Christ returns, he says that we will sit with him on his throne. We will be a part of his government, just as he is a part of God's government and sits with him on his throne now. And he is putting all enemies under his feet. He is setting all of this business in order until the final enemy, which is death, is crushed. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I'm not going to go any further with this teaching tonight, but I am going to pray for each and every one of you that you receive God's purpose for your life through this teaching, so that God can show himself real in your life, so that you are confident in the fact that God has placed the fullness of the power of his Holy Spirit within you, so that you can share the death, burial, and resurrection of his son Jesus Christ with someone else, someone close to you, someone who lives in your house, someone who goes to your school, someone who works at your job, someone who sits in your church. And You can share the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ, with someone else. And you can share with them Acts 2:38 and 39. You can share with them Acts 19:1 through 7. You can share with them Romans 10:8 to 13. And they can receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and come into a relationship with God Almighty as their Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this word that we've heard from you. We thank you for you calling us before the foundations of the world to be your dear children. We thank you for you giving us your word and your spirit so that we can walk boldly in this life in preparation for the return of your son, Jesus Christ, so that when we see him, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, and he is coming with his reward in his hand, and we are going to be prepared to receive that reward. We are not going to be regretting the fact that we were not diligently working to be at rest or at work for him when he returns. We are actually working for you by submitting to the authority of your son, Jesus Christ, as our master and Lord. We thank you for the privilege that we have of doing this so that we can please you, so that we can serve you, so that we can trust you, so that we can obey you. Allow us to produce in our life love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control so that we can indeed overcome and sit on the throne of your son, Jesus Christ, and reign as a part of his government as he reigns on your throne as a part of your government now. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, he who has an ear, let him hear. Be ye transformed.
I want you to been waiting to hear from you.
Keep my heart.
Hey, that's what I want you to do.
Keep my heart.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh my God.
Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you.
If I can hear,
then I know what to do.
I won't go on.
I can hear from you.
I
know what.